East of the Rockies, you're on the air now with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Hi, how you doing, Art?
Where are you, sir?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to concur with Robert in terms of the earth being alive, and it is talked about in Christianity and Taoism. And if you're aware of Don Juan, he talks about exactly the same thing. And the main thing they concur on is that man gets his feet connected on the ground and is able to pull up energy through the ground. And consequently, this leads, as they say, from the mother to the father. And if you look to read, if you've ever heard of Edmund Bordeaux-Zeckley, he interpreted a number of seen gospels. And the main thing that Christ talks about is through the mother you reach the father. And he'd go up and tell people to grab a tree, and consequently energy would be coming up through the body. In Taoism, it goes into very great detail as to how to get your feet on the ground to get connected to the earth. And in Carlos Castaneda talking about Don Juan, he said that the earth getting connected to it soothed his whole being and taught him freedom. And when you talk about the earthly mother being the mother of the universe, that's not true. If you look at Taoism, they say it's yin and yang. Even in all religions, to talk about God as the unspeakable, the energy that comes forth from that is, if you look at it, Indian religion, it's Shiva and Shakti, and it's an interplay between male and female, or just opposites that create creation. That is not the creator itself, that comes from the creator. And you can look at it, whether it's Hinduism or Vedanta or Christianity, that's all true. And you might, believe me, if you just look at these things, if you talk about appreciation of the Mother Earth, it's a matter in terms of all these religions. I can give you the name of the books and wherever you want to look.
Well, that's all right. We're going to
have to... getting connected to the ground.
All right. We're going to have to hold it there. I take it, Robert, you concur generally with that.
Yes. And again, I do want to clarify that I do not in any way wish to portray that the creator of the universe is a female. Again, let me clarify, it is the creator of earth and man that the Hopi say is a creator. The creator essence is given generally a masculine role, but in fact does have a female counterpart. There's a fine distinction in what I did say. But I do generally concur with what you have said. Absolutely, yes, sir.
All right. Maybe we can squeeze one quick one in. You're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Where are you calling from, please?
California, Art.
All right. Real quick.
Mr. Morning Sky, from what I understand, you're saying what the cycle is about ready to happen, is that because of some malevolence on the part of mankind, or is it just a normal cycle of nature?
I hate to attribute it to nature. I would simply say that it is a natural part of the rhythm of the existence in our universe, and that's very simplistic. I can't hesitate, but man is not causing it. Man just happens to be at that cusp where the change is going to occur. It is part of the natural rhythm of the universe.
That's something. All right, Robert Morning Sky, stay right there. He's our guest. And what a program it is. Dreamland. If you want to order our newsletter, get through 1-800.
This hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
From the Kingdom of Nine, you're hearing Dreamland with Art Bell. To participate in the program, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222, or the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It absolutely is. One more time, please, with emphasis, our newsletter that is going to have a remarkable photograph of a comet called Hale-Bopp out beyond the orbit of Jupiter, taken with a 90-inch telescope in the next newsletter. The newsletter price is getting ready to go up. At this moment, you may subscribe at the present price of $29.95. It's going to be going to $39.95. That is a one-year subscription. Don't let it go. Get on the phone now and keep at it until you get through. The number is 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. Still time to get the edition with the photograph of the comet. And in a moment, what I promise you is going to be a remarkable segment with our guest, Robert Morningsky, the Native American of the Hopi Nation, because I have the person who sent the fax, Steve, from Santa Barbara, on the line. He sent another one. This time he sent a phone number, so I called it. Steve is here. One of the more remarkable... Now back to Robert. Robert, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. This fax, very interesting. Dear Art, Gordon Michael Scallion has stated in one of his newsletters, quote, shortly, in 1996 or 7, a great gathering of elder and young heart-centered warriors shall convene in the Southwest. Here, prophecies of old and new shall be revealed, brought forth by both women and men. Please ask your guest if he knows of any plans. When? Where?
Again, hesitantly, yes, I am aware. It is not appropriate for me to, and I believe most of your listeners will understand, this is their place, this is their circle, and it would certainly not be my place to announce or say where this would occur. This properly belongs to the elders who are holding the circle, so I can only say, yes, I do, I am aware, but it is not my place to speak of those things.
All right. The man who wrote the early fax, who you've mentioned now several times, Steve in Santa Barbara, the man who believes the Earth is but an inert rock. I just happened to be able to get him on the line. Steve, you're on the air with Robert Morningsky.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi. Speak up good and loud for us. Get close to the phone and go ahead.
How's it?
Fine.
Okay. Well, I took the facts. I think the facts pretty much contained a good sampling of what I had to rebut to what Mr. Morningsky had said.
Well, why don't you do it yourself?
Well, I will condense it real simply. Mr. Morningsky, I still say that you presented no cogent argument to me in any form whatsoever that the Earth is alive. If you want to maintain that the Earth and the universe and atoms are somehow powered by mysterious forces that we do not yet understand and that life as we know it, organisms fit within that, I'll accept that argument, but you've still presented nothing to me to say that the Earth is relative to a living organism in its ability to metabolize, to reproduce, and to survival, maintain its survival and have its survival instinct based on active activity.
I can only respond with two very brief comments. One, I suppose what is at issue is the definition of what is living and alive. I do not believe that what we human beings have either put in encyclopedias or in dictionaries as a definition. I do not believe that that is appropriate. And secondly, I absolutely agree. I don't believe that there is anything I can ever say or do. I don't believe there's anything that you will ever see that will persuade you, and I respect that, and I am not here to convert. I believe that you have presented your position quite well. Hopefully I have done the same, and the best that either one of us can do is to hope that listeners and whoever we speak to simply hear our story, and then they need to make a choice.
Mr. Morningsky, I kind of find it a little arrogant of you to assume that I have very limited perception, that I couldn't possibly feel what you feel, the great mysterious power within this universe. I will vision quest with you anytime, anywhere in the world. You name the date and the place, and I'll fly there. I'm open to amazing possibilities. You don't know what's happened to me in my lifetime, so you certainly can't make conclusions about my perception. And if you want to say that all you've done, is present a suggestion that what we think of as life is not quite what it could or should be, that life contains more than what we think it is. And again, if that's what you think, say so, but don't say it's the same thing that makes me greater than a bowling ball, because we're both a compilation of earthly material, silicone, water, whatever matter you want to put into it. We're all atoms and molecules in the end run. But what is it that makes me greater than my bowling ball? What is it that gives me intelligence? What is it that gives me the ability to perceive my universe, register it, and communicate it with others of my type. And it's still, you presented nothing to say that the Earth is alive, merely that what we consider alive is much greater, that all the wonders of the universe are actually contained within living. And I still assert that you really are claiming that the Earth is speaking. You even said earlier that the Earth is hurting. Those were your words. And that probably the answer to why it's hurting is contained within your book that you're trying to sell tonight.
Well, as a matter of fact, Steve, that's a little unfair. I'm going to get him to promote his book because he hasn't even said a word about it. So I'm going to make him say a word about it in a moment, Steve. That comment was a little rough, I thought.
Oh, it's accurate.
Well, it's not accurate because he's not been peddling his book. I'm going to make him peddle it here in a little while. As a matter of fact, while we're on the subject, we'll get to that. But would you like to respond one more time to Steve? If I were to respond to Steve, I would say it sounds to me like he is searching, like he is hurting. And I think that I share your view, Robert, and it's something that you feel at a very deep level, or you don't, I guess.
I want to thank Steve for, you know, presenting his thoughts and his perceptions and his reality. I will simply allow his statements to stand on their own and what I have said to stand on its own. I, again, do not believe that I will ever be able to show Steve what I would consider to be a truth, and I recognize that, I understand that. I choose not to participate in either a name-calling or a put-down of philosophies. I'm a storyteller. I'm simply presenting a story. If he chooses to reject it, that's quite all right. I'm not going to try and persuade him. If others can look around them and see what I see, that's quite all right, too. So I would say I would allow Steve's words to stand on their own, and I would allow my own words to stand on my own, and allow the rest of the world to make their own decision.
Well, his were presented with kind of a tinge of anger, perhaps in reaction to what he senses may be true, but just does not want to accept. People frequently react, I notice, in these arenas with anger. Now I'm going to do exactly what I just said I was going to do, and anyway, here's the facts. Art, be sure and get the information about his workshop lecture in the Seattle area that he's holding within a few weeks. He mentioned this, but I've not gotten any information, phone numbers or addresses or anything. Be sure you get it. So let's get it. Where are you going to be in Seattle and so forth?
I have been very fortunate that I have been invited up to Seattle and Yelm, and I'll be in Mount Shasta all within the next couple of weeks. My appearance schedule, again, I've been very fortunate. I can only at this point, since the list is quite lengthy, I do have a contact number that individuals can call either for existing lectures and workshops, or if they would care to invite or ask for us to participate later on in the program or whenever. I can certainly give you a contact number.
Go ahead, give it on the air.
Contact number is in care of the Terra Project. It's area code 602-996-6324. They can call that number. We can mail out the schedule. We are booked between here and the early part of next year. They can also get information on a book and some other information that we are publishing. And again, we're simply trying to present a story that is most certainly based in Native America, and but I believe it applies to the contemporary. I do not choose to try to persuade anyone, but simply tell a story, and hopefully it fits in with what they see is going on around them.
All right. You've written, I guess I'd call it a white paper. I don't know what you'd call it. It's called the Terra Papers.
That's
what you talk about. And how could a person get hold of that?
They can contact us through that number. And we would be happy to send them information on the Terra papers, and we actually have some subsequent papers and data that we make available.
All right, is there a cost associated with it?
We're asking essentially our cost to get this out, and it's $10 for the Terra papers, and that's put into additional research, and we actually take people out into the field for them to see the glyphs, for them to see the circles, and we ask them simply to witness and then allow them to make a judgment call.
That number is area code 602-996-6324. Now, should they call during the day, business hours, or 24 hours?
The phone does function during normal business hours. Should they call after hours, and if there's one of the researchers in the office, they will answer. If not, there is a message machine. They can leave their name and number. We will get in touch with them, or if they leave their address, we will send them the information.
All right, good. Robert, hold on. We'll be right back. You're right in the middle of Dreamland.
On the air, hi.
Yeah, I was talking to the telescope distributing place today.
Yes.
And asked them about the comet, too, and they got information on it, and they said it was first detected in 93.
Well, I don't know. I'm hearing so many stories right now. I mean, it's called Hale-Bopp because it was just discovered by Hale and Bopp.
They said on the 23rd of July.
Yeah, well, you know, so what now? This telescope distributor is making claims that Hale and Bopp were not the first.
Something to that effect. Let's see, the Daily Telegraph that reported it.
Yes.
And Sky and Telescope is also supposed to report it.
Oh, look, everybody's almost on it now.
Okay, I was looking at Sky and Telescope and a copy of the most recent Daily Telegraph, and I didn't see anything. Which issues were they in?
Oh, I don't know. I don't have it. This was on the wire services, so I would imagine it'll probably be whatever the next issue is.
And they're saying it's just bigger than something that hasn't been detected that far away before.
Well, let's say it's only a tenth the size that they're worried it might be. It would still be gigantic. And let's say that it misses the Earth, but heads toward the Earth's path. It may come close enough to the Sun so that it will be the astronomical event of all time.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Maybe it's Gordon Michael's second son.
Time to sell comet bills.
Oh, look, there'll be comet hats, comet T-shirts, end of the world T-shirts. You name it. Everybody will get going on this one soon. We just happen to be on it a little bit earlier than most. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Maybe we should be in comet T-shirts now. What would be a good slogan to put on a comet T-shirt?
Story that you had at the top of the hour.
Unbelievable, huh?
Well, actually it is. I heard the same story on Rush Limbaugh late in the week last week.
Mm-hmm.
And he checked it out, and it was written as a satire in a magazine.
Brinkley reported it on Sunday as fact.
Well, Rush had pretty much the same reaction you did, and he got the source, or went to the source, he said, and it was written, it was not true, it didn't actually happen.
Well, you know, if that's true, then thank goodness, because
really?
Can our society have degenerated to that point? Thankfully and hopefully you're right, and it is not, but I can't say that I'm convinced by your call. Only because ABC and Brinkley reported it on Sunday. Had it
right.
been exposed as some sort of untrue story, you would think certainly by Sunday ABC would have had that word.
True. It makes you wonder about ABC, or makes me wonder about ABC. okay, really, that's all I had. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And I don't know, I still kind of lean toward it being true. And you just can't imagine Brinkley would have reported that.
Robert, here comes yet another caller. You're on the air east of the Rockies. Where are you calling from, please?
Yes, this is Mike from Lexington, Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
Yes, you were speaking earlier about your step-grandfather, I believe, that had come across a crash site and actually found a being that they nursed back to health. What became of that? What happened to the creature, and what was the relationship, and how did that end up?
Yeah, the rest of the story. Good question.
Thank you. Yes, I mean, the purpose of my spending this year in going to the public and telling the story is that I think it's the timing is crucial. It is part of the ending of the cycle. The relationship was rather odd in that the star being, in communicating, and it's a long story in how it occurred, but in communicating with my grandfather and the other five, essentially began to describe what I would call the warrior disciplines, the warrior ways of beings in the stars. And what my grandfather and his friends discovered was that many of the Native American warrior ways, for example, the use of a vision quest, the use of something as simple as a feather, some of the techniques that were used in war were in fact born in the stars. And for my grandfather and the others, this was confirmation that all of the ancient legends that we were born in the stars and that our ways came down to us from the stars was confirmation to them. Now, if you then turn around and look at this being who my grandfather and the others called the Star Elder out of respect for his wisdom and certainly that he came from the stars, the Star Elder, the being, found himself in a primitive society. He found himself in a savage world. Now, if you were to land in the center of the deepest, darkest jungle, and suddenly these primitives walk up to you, and using stones, they begin to play this little game called Nintendo, certainly you're going to be astonished that where did you get this, and how did you know? So there was surprise on both ends, because a star being sees primitives practicing star ways, and primitives see a star being confirming that their ways, in fact, are born in the stars.
All right, well, we don't have a lot of time, so what became of the creature?
The Star Elder remained for a short period of time. He returned. I will say that he has returned at least twice since 1947. There is an ongoing relationship with a handful of Native Americans. And again, not wanting to get into depth, but he is alive, he is well, and continues to make contact when necessary because of the situation that occurs here on planet Earth and the ending of the cycle.
The ending of the cycle. You know, I wish I didn't believe that somehow. I worry about the ending of the cycle. Robert, you seem to be prepared for it, rejoicing in it, and I wish I could adopt that same attitude, and maybe I need to study more. Robert, stand by. We're breaking here at the top of the hour. Robert Morning Sky, a Native American of the Hopi Nation, is our guest, and we are honored to have him, as we are you. This, from the high desert, is Dreamland.
Participate in the program, call toll-free 1-800-618-8255, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222, or the wildcard line at 702-727-1295. This is the CBC Radio Network.
It absolutely is, and I want to repeat this announcement. It's a really a big one. We have a new image of the Hale-Bopp comet. And I want to thank Paul again in Houston for getting it to me. Thank you, Paul. The image was obtained, so that you know, from Kitt Peak using a Stewart Observatory 90-inch telescope, a Loral 2K times 2K CCD was exposed for 30 seconds while the telescope tracked Hale-Bopp. It is a very serious image, and we want to give credit properly to Dave Harvey and Stewart Observatory.
This image is now on our bulletin board. And you can get to it by calling area code 702, if you have a computer now, 702-727-1709. 702-727-1709. If you have a computer, it's called comet1.gif. Now, if you don't have a computer, it is, I can tell you, because I sent it personally by computer to the publisher, who will have it in the next newsletter, along, I might add, with the image of the crystal skull, Max, and a photograph of my studio, the one from which I'm transmitting at this very moment. You can get the newsletter. It's $29.95 a year, and how you could possibly wait any longer, I don't know. Every month it gets bigger and better, and we're going to keep putting this kind of information into it. The number to order the newsletter right now, and you just please keep trying, 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. It's called the Art Bell After Dark newsletter, and I think that would be certainly an appropriate title for it. Well, all right. Let me again mention to you UFO facts. Now, if you listen to this kind of material, and I know you do, remember,
I bet he would. Actually, he's a very nice man.
Yes, he is.
So I just want to mention one other thing. It's got 300 photos in it.
Yes.
And it took us forever to put this thing together. 12 countries and a lot of film, and I think that people might enjoy looking at it. And if anybody has some strange ritual facts or ideas or anything that could help me in my quest for sort of a universal field theory of ritualism and mythology, they can send it care of Llewellyn. I answer all my letters, and I'd love to hear from people who are also involved in these kinds of things.
All right, and so they would send it in care of the publisher.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right, off we go to a land you mentioned, someplace in Louisiana. Hello there. You're on the air. Where are you calling from, actually?
I'm calling from Chalmette, Louisiana.
All right.
It's about two or three miles outside of New Orleans.
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. First of all, let me say I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And listen to you every Sunday night. What station would pick you up in Morrill, Mississippi? Do you know offhand?
I don't even know where that is in Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
I have stations there, but I you know.
You do?
Yeah, I sure do, but I'm not familiar with exactly where that is. Is it anywhere near, I can't go through the list.
Okay, that's okay.
You'll hear us.
That's okay, because I just wanted to let my son know, because he wanted to tune in too.
I see.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, sir, thank you. I guess no specific question.
Hey. Your voice is heard everywhere. If that's not magic, I don't know what it is.
It is kind of magic, actually.
It is. It's magic. 100 years ago, they would have said it was unbelievable magic.
They'd have burned me with you.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
I suspect we're kindred souls.
Yeah, probably. First time caller line, you're on the air with Denny Sargent. Hi.
Hi. My name is Diane. I'm calling from Moraga, California.
Hey, Diane.
And my question is, Mr. Sargent, do you have any books or resources that you would recommend in addition to your own on this
absolutely.
Subject?
Absolutely. I am by no means the greatest author in the world. As I said in the beginning of my book, I stand on the shoulders of giants. I would recommend Iliad, who's written numerous books on mythology. I'm going to give you some authors. I would recommend Carl Jung, especially his real basic book that's for everybody called Man and His Symbols.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you...
That one's wonderful.
Exactly. and I recommend, of course, I'm losing my mind now, Joseph Campbell, and his video series is fabulous.
Okay.
And any of his works are fantastic.
Okay.
There's some other people like Eric Newman, who people are not too familiar with. He wrote a book called The Great Mother, which is a survey of goddesses throughout history, which is fantastic. And this is a relatively new field. It's kind of a mixing of psychology and anthropology and history.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to take it a step further into the field of ritual.
it's relatively hard. I mean, global ritualism is my attempt, but it's not a particularly scholarly work. It's really for just average people. Most of it was off the top of my head, just from years and years of reading and research and traveling. There's not a lot of, for example, there's not a lot of footnotes.
All
historical
right.
footnotes in my book.
All right, ma'am. There you go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, good luck.
Now, let's talk for a second. You know, for some reason, Denny, I have a lot of witches that listen to me, and I don't mean just on this program. You
uh-huh.
would imagine that, but on my other as well. And I'm constantly getting faxes from them. Now, is not witchcraft full of every sort of ritualism? It's rich in ritualism,
absolutely.
Is it not?
I've met a number of witches. I've been to a number of pagan and witchcraft circles in America and pagan circles in all different countries around the world. And what witchcraft is in spirit, it's a continuation of pre-Christian European paganism. Historically, there's not a lot of actual stuff that has been continually practiced. Most of it, what it is now, is a kind of revival of the faith. Of European paganism, but what you're finding is that a lot of witches and quote-unquote New Age people and a lot of people who are listening to your show, what they're doing is what I call eclectic ritualism. The whole second part of my book is called Eclecticizing or Eclectic Ritual, and this is a movement that I'm seeing, and I think the witches personify that, Wicca or witchcraft personifies that really well. But I'm seeing it all through the spectrums of New Age, of Jungianism, of every kind of group that is looking for a kind of global vision of what is going on out there. I kind of coined the term eclectic ritualism, which is people, you know, people sampling Tibetan Buddhism, people going like yourself to Thai temples and getting some kind of feeling or experience, people going to Hopi ceremonies, people having some Hopi sage in their house and using that ritual, maybe having Tibetan prayer flags, using those, maybe carrying a cross that their mother gave them. This is eclectic ritualism, and this, I think, to be honest with you, is the great unspoken movement that's sweeping through America right now. And I kind of put a label on it, and global ritualism, I kind of addressed it. And I don't really claim to be unique, but I guess I have a lot of friends and a lot of contacts in many different levels. I know witches, I know many different kinds of Christians, I know a lot of New Age people, I know a lot of psychics, I know a lot of academics, I know a lot of psychologists, and they're all really doing the same kinds of things.
I know. That's
and
what, as
I mean,
I said,
yoga classes are being held up in my Lutheran church.
As I said, that's what's bothering me more than anything else, Denny, is that so many of these people are seeing and saying so many similar things that individually you can dismiss them. Collectively, you
exactly.
do so at your own peril. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Denny Sargent. Hi.
Hi.
Turn your radio off. That's
oh my God,
number
man.
One. Always turn your radio off. Tell us where you're calling from. Well, now he must have gone to turn his radio off.
Oh. Well, just as a quick note, do you know what I think the greatest religious movement is right now?
What?
The World Wide Web. I do. Because religion means, the root of religion is the Greek word religios, which means to relink.
All right. Having said that and not wanting to expand on it, caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Okay. Hi, this is Mike, Detroit Lake, Minnesota.
In fact, the madness that you mentioned earlier will come to an end, but I also have to say that my heart, it hurts, it pains to think that there will be those, because they refuse to look around them, they cover their eyes with blinders, are not going to be able to see what is going on. And I can only suggest that the comet, the eclipse, and what is going to occur between now and its appearance, I would suggest that we just let it speak for itself, and if it doesn't seem to speak with the thunder, I would be surprised.
Hmm. Here's one other fact seems relevant. Art, would you please ask your guest if he is aware of Terence McKenna's time wave? It is a map of time derived from the Chinese I Ching, or a book of changes, and claims the end of time to be December 21st, 2012, from Pam and Jeff in Eugene, Oregon.
Thank you. I know I'm completely ignorant of that, and again, can only suggest that it is a major coincidence, or again, we just simply allow it to speak with us.
Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Bob.
Good evening, sir.
Where
are you?
Excuse me?
Where are you?
Fort Smith, Arkansas.
All right.
I'd like to ask your guest if he made the comment that the creator of the universe is female because of the white buffalo that was born, and it's born female. Correct?
No, not exactly. What I said was that in the Hopi way, the creator of Earth and man is a female. In fact, the creator of the universe is Ta'iowa. It has several different names, but is in fact a male essence. And so, just a slight distinguishing of what I said earlier.
Does that help you, caller?
No. Well, my point was going to be made to this, but if you're again familiar with Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 15 through 27?
No.
No.
And I'm afraid I can't give you an opportunity for him to become familiar at this moment. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Hello.
Hi.
Where are you, sir?
East of the Rockies.
Where?
Boston.
You're Boston. Well, you're on our West of the Rockies line, so thanks for the shot. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky.
Hello, how are you?
Fine.
Yeah.
Turn your radio off, sir.
Okay.
And please also
Yes, I'm calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
All right.
First time caller.
Yes, sir.
Yes, first of all, I think Robert and his grandfather both are right on the money.
Thank you.
And I have to ask you, though, have there been any, let's say, a meeting of the mind, so to speak, between the medicine man and that being?
I'm not sure what you mean by meeting of the mind.
The being that was on the in the Hopi Nation, did he talk or communicate with the medicine man?
Yes. Well, I don't want to imply that all medicine men, but a handful, and literally less than a dozen.
Wow, that is indeed remarkable. All right, a lot of people trying to get hold of you, so we'll just keep moving. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Morning Sky. Where are you, please?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much for having him on, Art.
Sure.
Robert, you know, we in the Western tradition have been raised with pretty much pitiful preparedness for the upcoming events. I mean, the meek shall inherit the earth is about all we've got to rest on. And I'm wondering, number one, do Hopis believe in reincarnation? And if so, what do Hopis believe they should be doing to prepare for this versus what can the rest of us do to get ready for this besides maybe go and live in the woods and try to be self-sufficient?
Okay. Again, I do not want to speak for the Hopi Nation. That is not appropriate. But again, in drawing from Hopi tradition, reincarnation, as I believe most people speak of it, says that in essence, what you do in this life dictates what will occur or what your life will be like when you return to this planet in the future. The difficulty with that concept is that the Hopi do not generally believe that reincarnation demands a return to this planet. In fact, you could end up on a far distant star, you could end up on a planet in another galaxy, perhaps in another universe. The simplest explanation of Hopi transmigration, that the changing of planes of existence, simply says that if you are a chief on this earthly plane, that in going through the door to the next existence, that you will be a chief in that plane. So in that regard, yes, what you do here does dictate what you will do there, whether you will be punished or elevated in essence depends on your wisdom as opposed to an outside agency judging. I'm sorry, and the second part of the question was, what was it?
It has to do with what we can do to prepare. For example, I wonder whether all the Hopi will be gathering at the Third Mesa, and where are all of us lousy white folks supposed to go?
Oh, no, no. I would never use the terminology lousy white folk. But, you know, curiously, there is a story that in this end cycle that there will be a messenger who returns from the heavens. He is known as Bahana, and in fact is known as the White Brother. Some literally interpret this as a white-skinned brother, but again, in referring back to the white buffalo, I would say that this is the pure essence of a brother, and can only speak for myself and say this is the presence of a star being. I'm not sure I can attribute this to the star elder that my grandfather's familiar with, but certainly it could be the precursor to the visit of another star being. I would only suggest that in order to expand one's awareness, one has to toss away the blinders. If I can take a moment and hopefully in this analogy explain it better. If you see a bear, you may ask one individual, what do you see? And this individual will say that this is a giant, a gentle, compassionate beast of nature. And if you were to ask another being, another person, they would say, well, this is a nasty, rotten, evil carnivore. Now, the question that I would suggest is, which is the truth, capital T-H-E? Is it the gentle beast? Is it the carnivore? I can only, and very briefly, suggest one individual's truth is that it is a gentle beast of nature. The other individual's truth is that it is a carnivore. What I am going to suggest is the truth is the bear, which has no, it does not care what others choose to label it or see it as. It simply is. And in the workshops we conduct and when we take people out on the quest, what we are trying to say is, you need to set aside all your experiences, all your judgments, all your learning, and simply open your eyes to the bear. And you will see that at times it is gentle, and at times it is not. We need to, in the workshops, I've been approached and say, oh, we need to learn, we need to gain greater wisdom. I'm going to suggest that, in fact, we do not need to learn, but to unlearn that which we have been saddled with. We need to open our eyes instead of to blindly accept what is described as in front of us.
All right. Robert, I want to ask you a question myself. It's about the nature of our soul. Obviously, the Hopi believe, as we believe, there is a soul, something that lives beyond the physical body. From your description, it sounded like reincarnation, but not quite. You seem to believe there's a big cosmic bowl of soup, sort of containing not just multicultures, but multi-species, and that one might come back, as you said, on a very distant star. Is that right?
That's correct, sir. I can only suggest, and it's probably dangerous in a very brief period of time, to say that there is out there an essence of which we have been born, whether one chooses to call it God or some other title, I'd leave that to the individual. But I can only suggest that we choose, and in our workshops we talk about Earth 101. We have chosen to experience life on this plane. Some of us choose to be males, some choose to be females, some choose to be doctors, lawyers, attorneys. I mean, there are numerous things, but it is much like a university. We have chosen to be in this place to learn what we feel we need. Having completed that course, it may be necessary to repeat the course. It may be necessary, having been a male doctor, to return and now become a female doctor. Mm. I don't believe punishment has anything to do with it, karma that has turned against us. I think it is a learning process that we do have a connection far out there, and this is our learning process. This is our Earth 101, and perhaps at some point the only way that we can understand peace or wisdom or awareness is if in fact we live and taste a life where there is madness, where there is chaos, where we are in fact murderers and rapists and cruel, vicious beings. Perhaps some of us actually need to experience that in order to learn. So,
Taste is certainly strong in my mouth. Hold on just one moment. Robert Morning Sky, we are honored to have him as a guest, a Native American of the Hopi Nation. We'll take more calls in a moment.
Many of
you. For Central Illinois, partly.
Amendment, I wish I didn't have to hear all this baloney. But I hope you get something out of this program, and I'm glad you called.
Can I ask you one more thing?
Yeah, sure.
It's this idea of what is time, couldn't it simply be described as a form of knowing?
Yes, or perhaps consciousness is the perception of time. Doctor?
Yes, definitely. I think that time is a layer of consciousness. It's a degree of consciousness. And since we're, I feel, here all about learning in some way or another, we are here, in fact, to learn about time as well.
Oh, good answer. First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Snow. Hi.
Hi, Art. This is Terry from Monterey, California.
Monterey, beautiful place, yes.
Very much so. Doctor, when one has what one would call deja vu, those moments where you think, I have seen this before, or even moments where you can consciously remember seeing something that you know is going to happen and then it does.
Sure.
Shortly in your life, is that a part of future progression?
Yes, it is. Or the deja vu often is a, in a sense, a past experience coming back, an echo of somewhere you may have been already and you recognize it again. The kind of precognition, which is the second form, frequently comes when your mind, which at different levels of consciousness can go outside of linear time, shoots forward to present to you an event or a feeling, an emotion, or sometimes even a face of an individual that will be an important player in your learning process in your life.
Okay, so we generally should look upon that as something that we should think about. And
I think it's something that you ought to take into consideration. I wouldn't change everything because you had such an experience, because sometimes the mind plays tricks on us. But I do feel that, yes, in general, it is certainly a warning, something.